Call. Chair Gantz.
Present.
Mr. Viner.
Present.
Vice Chair Burke.
Present.
We have a quorum. The next item on the agenda is a study session for IID case number 1909, 75 East Broadway. It's associated with case number T19 pre-0075. This is the first time that Info Incentive District will take a look at this project. It is a major review located in the downtown core. This project is pretty interesting as we have several players involved with it, which makes it a little even more exciting. We have Pima County as our direct partner, and they're reviewing the project alongside the City of Tucson staff. Rio Nuevo is also involved with some of the funding. Peach Partners and SWAIM is the main project manager and architects on the site. There's also a construction manager at RISC, I believe. Is that not correct?
That's a developer.
A developer.
And contractor.
A developer and contractor involved. This is a study session item only today, so we'll be reviewing some of their early renderings, and we hope to see this formally in July.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, I'll call up the presenter. Please identify yourself when you come up and what your part is in this. And I just want to remind you, we only have till midnight tonight. So,
might be enough time.
Well, good afternoon or evening. My name is Mark Ballard. I'm a principal with SWAIM Associates. And thank you to city staff, first of all, for squeezing us in on the agenda, because I know it's been a long afternoon. Just a brief on the project as introduced by Carolyn. This is a county-owned piece of property. This project was developed through a request for proposal through Rio Nuevo to develop the site specifically as a kind of a mixed-use development. Essentially, we have the site to the north is the old Chicago store on the east end and Wigorama on the west. Johnny Gibson's across the street to the east. Unisource, Old County or Federal Courthouse to the west. Previously an unused parking lot, now it's been kind of cleaned. There was an archaeological study that went through that process. But very briefly though, our partners, as Carolyn mentioned, J.E. Dunn and their development team out of Kansas City is really pushing this project, and it will be constructed by J.E. Dunn out of Phoenix, who has actually about a 15-year presence in Tucson. Has done a lot of work at TMC, University of Arizona, some other spots around town. In addition to our partners, as mentioned, Peach Properties and Marcel Dabdu, who own the majority of the buildings to the north, are the partners that will develop the two floors of retail space in the new building. And all along it was intended that they both work together through the development of the site. So you'll see that. I'm going to have Michael Becker kind of present that. We've been working on this for about 2 years. It's kind of really gained momentum now. Have some potential for some real positive office spaces. Essentially, to be brief, it's two floors of office, I'm sorry, of retail. Have five floors of parking for a total of about 350 spaces, and above that are five floors of Class A office space. Each floor plate's approximately 30,000 square feet, which is something that's really been lacking in the Tucson market to find a floor plate of that size to handle a large national company. So with that brief introduction, I'm going to have Michael Becker do the presentation. He's really been working on the design. We're going to have the planning center, who's one of our teammates, come up and kind of describe the streetscape and some of the improvements we plan there. And then we'll show some really brief kind of preliminary renderings of the project to get your input and comments on. So again, thank you.
Good. Thank you. Thanks. Mm-hmm. So yes, I'm Michael Becker. I'm a partner with SWAIM Associates. And Mark did a great job getting started, so we'll just jump into it. I know you guys have had a long afternoon.
So you can either use that or the mouse here. That will also advance you.
So the site's right on Broadway and 6th, between 6th and Scott is over here. So what we're trying to do with this project is really make it a four-sided building. We don't really want there to be necessarily back. So with the existing historic buildings to the north, we're holding our building to the property line on the south, and maintaining what's the alley now, we're actually going to acquire that as part of the property. Because to make our parking decks work, we have to go over the top of that alley to get a double-loaded parking deck to work. But in doing that, what we're able to do is maintain a open, what we're calling a pedestrian entertainment retail corridor on the first floor. And since Dabdu Chwabi is going to be developing all of the retail, they own most of the retail to the north, we really want all of that retail space to open into that pedestrian corridor. So it will be used for service during the day, so trash pickup. We do have a service core in the center of the building. So deliveries and service will happen there. But in, it's not meant for regular vehicle traffic. It's really just for service and then for people as a pedestrian corridor to walk through the block. We think it's going to be a really dynamic space. We've got basically between the columns is our 20-foot fire lane as well. So we're maintaining that. And then we're trying to carve out spaces on the north and south for seating for different, maybe a stage. I know there's been some interest in trying to activate this at night with, you know, whether it's music or we could do some projection screens and just have a lot of different activity going on to draw people in there. So similar to what's happening on Arizona Avenue, but what we'd really like to do is try to elevate that a little bit more. So the first floor is mainly retail. We've got the parking deck entrance off of Scott, and that goes up two stories. So that's going to be a steep ramp that gets up above the second floor of retail. So
there's second floor retail?
There is second floor retail. So there's two floors of retail. So I'll have Daniel come up and talk about the landscape plan, and then we'll get into the kind of building, and we'll show you the elevations.
Thanks. So I'm Daniel Bradshaw, landscape architect with the Planning Center, and I'll take just a brief moment here to walk you through the site here. There are a couple of goals, I think, that we have for the streetscape. One is to tie the architecture to the block by using materials, colors, finishes in the ground plane that coordinate with what you see in the vertical plane there on the building. Additionally, we want to emphasize the articulation of the building, the entrances of the building through the patterns in the hardscape. So what you see is a series of hierarchy spaces where you have the main entrance to the building off of Broadway here, and then you have retail entrances at both corners. These would all be similar pavement styles, and then between you'd have various pavements, perhaps some pavers, perhaps some intercolored concrete as well. Additionally, we want the landscape to complement what's currently happening on the south side of the road there in front of the TEP building, which we feel is quite successful. So I think the plant palette itself will draw from that. We would like to also utilize some weathered steel or Corten planters as well that are very similar to what you see on the other side of the street also. One of the goals, obviously, with this plan is to provide shade for pedestrians. Now that will obviously be easy in the pedestrian corridor here on the north side of the building under the overhang. That will be a nice spot in the summer just about any time of the day. But we want to bring in a number of trees to the south, east, and west sides of this property, utilizing tree grates along the south, perhaps utilizing some raised planters or along the east, and then some at-grade landscape along the west to mimic what you see on the south side of the road. Additionally, we understand we're going to need to provide site amenities such as bicycle parking, which we've located throughout the property so that they're located near entrances across the north, south, east, and west sides of the building. As Michael mentioned here on the north side, we are illustrating a location for some flexible seating, so you could have potentially tables or bistro-style sets up, table sets out there. Additionally, we're showing a stage on the north side that could be utilized for small performances. I think we do want to activate this space through the use of perhaps festoon lights, hanging baskets with landscape from above as well, but we do need to keep that 20-foot fire access lane clear of fixed objects, so that needs to remain open and flexible. We are also illustrating some foundation plant material near the edge of the building to soften up the transition between the building itself and the hardscape and provide some interest in the ground plane between the building and pedestrians as well.
Thanks. We'll go through.
Michael, yes. We had this on in the area north, which is going to be covered by the deck.
Yes.
Any bollards, retractable bollards, or anything to keep people from driving through?
We've been talking about how to handle that. Talking about a ledge curb was one opportunity there. You know, one thing that we're doing is we're trying to keep the pavement consistent with the sidewalk so it doesn't look like an entrance.
Okay.
And if we're able to use a wedge curb or something so it's more difficult to surmount that, we think that'll basically deter people from getting in there. You know, where we do have a vehicle entrance, we are going to change the concrete paving and make it very clear that that is an entrance. And so we're just trying to de-emphasize those. The problem with the bollards is that they'll have to be removable, and somebody's got to do it, and eventually they just go away. And so we're trying to think ahead and do it in a way that, you know, more through visual cues than any, you know, physical barriers. And then, yeah, this was just some of the material palette that we're looking at for the site, whether there's the pavers, there's the planters from across the street, the tree grates, you know, there's the kind of palette and the kinds of spaces that we're trying to look at. So this is, again, just the first floor plan. You can see the retail, there's about 14,000 square feet of retail on the first floor. We have the main lobby in the center. You can see our core with five elevators. And again, the garage entrance on the west and our fire command center on the west as well. When we go up to the second floor, we have about 16,000 square feet of retail on the second floor. Again, with the core in the center, you can see the ramp coming up behind. And it's open to below, so you would see that pedestrian corridor beneath here. At the minimum, the height of this space is going to be 30 feet, and then it'll actually increase to 45 feet on the other side as you go from the third to the fourth floor. This is our first floor parking deck, so you can see how wide that deck really gets and why we really need to take the alley as well. One thing we are doing is putting our parking control up at the third floor level, so we're not going to have queuing out on Scott. All the queuing is going to happen inside the building on the ramp, so that should help with some of the traffic concerns. This is our full parking deck, top floor deck, and then this is our typical office plate. As Mark mentioned, it's, you know, 30,000 square foot gross, so you can get those, you know, nice big open clear floor plate, minimum columns. We're using as much glazing as we can. One thing we're finding, see, these are elevations. Again, we've got, you know, the two floors of retail. Actually, I'm going to go to the next slide first.
That's not good. How about we close some of the other tabs that are open?
There, I think that's okay.
Okay.
See if we'll go. These drawings are a little challenging.
Maybe if we close the maps.
Well, that's happening. How high is the building?
It's about 170 feet? Mm-hmm. Is that? We're 12 stories total.
Yeah.
What is OCR 180?
Just 300. It's 300, okay. Never kidding.
300 and OCR 2.
Okay.
Oops. I just closed it.
Is the ground level retail being designed so that it could be a two-level retail store?
Yes.
Let's go to the next one down. And pre-submittal drawings. Up.
This one?
One above it, please. There you go.
So this is already on the press site?
Yes.
Yes. Good. Yes, the retail, okay. We're building the flexibility so they could have a two-story retail space. And because we're working with Dabdu Chwabe as they're bringing in their retail, whoever the, you know, the retailers would be, then we have the opportunity to modify the design as we move forward to accommodate.
Or it could be office, correct?
Second it could also, yeah, the second floor could be office. Yeah, the second floor retail is a little more challenging. So, you know, I know they're looking at, you know, fitness or co-working or a two-story retail. It'd be great to get, you know, some larger anchor retail that's not bars and restaurants. So really for the new building, I think the focus for Dabdu Chwabe is not to do bars and restaurants, to do some more substantial retail, maybe, you know, pharmacy, you know,
Apple,
grocery store, Apple, something. Mm-hmm. But something more substantial, and we think we'll be able to do it.
There we go.
It looks like the eastern retail space does indeed go out onto the pedestrian corridor, but the western one does not. Is that correct?
That is
the configuration. Okay.
Yeah. Because of the ramp, it cuts off that retail space.
That's what I thought.
What we decided to do, though, was jog the ramp and carve out an open space on this corner that could be for a food truck, okay, or, like, you know, some kind of stand could go in there. Okay. And again, trying to create, because we have plenty of interest on this side of the site, we're trying to create, you know, interest on that side as well at both ends of that to draw people in.
And there's a further indentation, as I recall, into the Wigorama property, further activated past the lot lines.
I'm sorry?
Because the Wigorama buildings actually have an indentation further north of all of this, that there's the possibility of doing something with that property owner on the north side as a pedestrian corridor.
I think there's a movement to bring back Wigorama.
Is there?
Yeah, take a two-level space.
By demand, you know,
20,000 square feet of space for it.
That's right. It's perfect.
Let's try to reload.
Okay.
So this is our south elevation. So you can see this is the primary entrance to the building. There's the two-story retail space, the five stories of parking, and then five stories of office above. In the for the two stories of retail, you know, two stories really made sense for that because what we're trying to do is relate to the context of downtown, which is a lot of the kind of two-story, you know, low-rise buildings, and also in the pattern of the glass. So the first floor, we're trying to have more. Larger sheets of glass, more openness, the way you have in a downtown kind of storefront situation. The second floor, we're doing more punched openings, because again, just mimicking that pattern that's in downtown, but doing with modern materials. So the first floor, we're thinking about using a kind of ground face CMU, something durable. You know, anywhere people are touching the building, obviously you want that as durable as possible. But the second floor, where we have the green material, that would probably be a composite metal panel, or you know, some kind of metal would be there. The garage, we're using a perforated metal screen to screen the garage. So, and it'll have to be at least 40% open, obviously, because we're trying to keep the natural ventilation. And also trying to create a feature at the entrance that really marks where the entrance to the building is. On the east and west facades, let me go up to the office first. So the five floors of office is essentially a storefront, so it's going to go floor to floor, so you're going to see the floor lines expressed on each floor as it goes up. It's a 14-foot floor to floor, so we're basically just going to infill those openings. On the east and west facade, we're putting more opaque panels in just to help deal with the solar heat gain, and then those metal panel strips will go down into the garage and become, you know, the similar color perforated panel. The idea there, they're trying to break up that sort of layer cake effect that can happen in these buildings. Because even though we talk about it, it's, you know, retail, parking, office. So by drawing that color and that material down across that line, we're hoping to blur that line a little bit so the building is a little more cohesive as a whole. And let's see. It's going to show you the north. Well, the north elevation has more opacity to it, actually, than the south, which seems counterintuitive. You want to do it the other way for the views. But because we're right on the property line, we've got some fire separation issues. So as we get, actually, the way that the site works, we're actually further away from the Chicago store than we are. We're right on the edge of Wigorama. So as we move to the west, the building actually gets more opaque. But we still have glass on the office levels. But it's a similar treatment as this happens on the north and on the west elevation as well.
So. You can use the black and white line drawings of those elevations, I think, as one of the previous or last pages.
Yeah, I think we just have the section.
Oh, just sections.
You might just point out the urban corridor, Michael, if you don't mind, on that bottom elevation. It may be hard to see.
Yeah, down here, you can see that's the... Mm-hmm. The urban corridor that we're talking about, and that's the low end, which is on the Scott side, and this is the high end, which is on the 6th Street side. So we're basically, and this is the kind of about the height of the Chicago store, and then you can see the ghost of the TEP building across the street. So we're a little taller than TEP, but not really that much. And that's most of the major points. So.
Probably
no
zip line between the two, right?
Unless you let us. Fun. So, I mean, we're, you know, super excited about the project. We are starting to pick up a lot of speed. We're going to try to start utility relocations probably in August. We do have basically all of the north buildings are served from the alley with overhead electric, so we're moving all of that underground. refeeding all those buildings. And then we can start construction on our building, which we're thinking foundations could start as early as October. Right. With about 18 months? 2 years?
About 20 months.
20 months.
20 months.
Construction time. We do have a meeting Friday with transportation to talk about logistics and staging and lane closures, so we're starting to get into those issues as well. But with that, if there's any questions or comments?
Just a comment on the screening for the garage. I know you need the 40%, so on and so forth. One of my chief complaints about all the parking structures that have gone in, and it's worst on El Centro and other things, I know you have to deal with masking it from across from the Stapler building. But it's also really uncomfortable for pedestrians always looking up straight at the glare of fluorescent light fixtures. Mm-hmm. If you could perhaps angle some sort of louvers or consider options so that that's not visible in the upper floors,
we've had comments, we've heard that comment before, and the same criticism of El Centro. So I think we are thinking about what type of fixture it is. Maybe it's not. Maybe you try to use more indirect lighting. I think there's some ways we can deal with that so you don't get that direct. You're not staring at a bulb.
Yeah, so it's just a comment.
Yeah.
And when you come more forward to this group, I'd love to see more perspectives of the interaction, especially on the backside of how it relates to that space, because that and the streetscape, because I think that's where we're most focused on integrating our commentary as it goes forward. I understand the zoning, I understand the needs. It looks fine for what it is, although this is preliminary. So.
Right.
So one thing I would say is that this group really wanted to get in front of you sooner than later before they really focused on refining their rendering so they could get some feedback. And they're also doing the same thing with Plans Review Subcommittee.
Boy, howdy. Thank you so much for that, for all of the above, and I am more than happy to do multiple courtesy reviews from our end for feedback if you would like it as we meet.
Yeah, and we're having some, perspective renderings done. We just weren't able to get them done for today, but we do have a public meeting next week, and we will have those renderings for that public meeting. And it'll illustrate this design, and obviously, as we get comments, we'll be updating all that material.
It's down to 12 stories. At one point, it was going to be 17, so on and so forth. Is that what you really feel economically is viable at the present?
Yeah, we were 20 stories, actually, at one point. And just working with J.E. Dunn, with their development group, it does hit this kind of sweet spot in terms of what they can lease, how they can lease it, how they can get their financing approved. And actually, the parking drives is in a big way. Because if we have 5 floors of parking, you have to go up 2 stories to get to the first deck. At some point, you're not going to get any more. People don't want to drive up that high in the garage. So when we were at 20 stories, we actually had 8 floors of parking, which just gets unruly and also gets expensive. It tips the pro forma so that it financially doesn't work. So this kind of 12-story, the way we stacked it is the kind of sweet spot where all the numbers kind of fall out.
And I'm assuming that above the parking structure, that's not just a 7-story podium with a wood structure on top, since you're doing 14.
No, it's a concrete frame building.
Hallelujah. Finally, a well-built building.
It'll be downtown. A post-tension slab, I think, is what we're looking at. And then it'll be a metal storefront. In the elevation, you can see the blue band would be clear glass. The white bands would be some kind of opaque glass. Okay. One interesting thing we've run into is since Tucson adopted the energy code, there's a 40% limitation on clear glazing. So what you won't see in town again is a glass skyscraper. And we start asking around as we start studying that, even City Park actually meets that requirement because the entire north side of City Park is opaque.
Yes.
And TEP also meets it. So there are some things happening in the code that are changing the way these buildings are getting designed.
It's probably best when it's 120 degrees.
Yeah.
So we hope to get them in front of you again in July, early July. They have a pretty tight schedule that they've been working closely with San Pima County on. Alexandra Hines is going to be the project manager, and she'll be following it through to completion. So Alex, you probably remember her from going through the Info Incentive District public process in 2015. So she's a great selection for that position. Is there any other questions?
You know, when we reviewed City Plaza, that there was a whole bunch of input from the federal government.
City Park?
City Park. Will that be the case on this building since it's adjacency?
They've already provided a comment.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. They've been doing their homework from the start.
Yep. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
Trying.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for your time.
And thanks for getting us up before midnight. That actually allows you to buy us dinner now.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's an exciting project.
Good. Nice to meet you.
Hi. So,
thank you all.
Just three more quick things.
Yes. Call the audience next on our agenda. Okay.
Yeah.
next on our agenda is future agenda items.
So we do have this item coming forth in July. We now have the dual brand hotel coming forth in July. I think it'll probably be closer to July than the end of June. We'll see. There are two...
Just calendaring these in the summer?
It's very hard.
Well, yeah. The middle of the week, I think, is typically better. So if people are on vacations, they usually are taking Friday or Monday.
Okay.
So the middle of the week... I think might work better to get a better attendance. Yeah.
And the afternoon.
But it is approved today, so.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Afternoons are good.
I would, for scheduling, would prefer before 13th or after the 21st.
Before 13th or after 21st?
That, but
July.
I don't need to be here. I mean, if we get enough of a quorum.
June or July?
July. June.
June is gone for you.
Well, I don't really want to, but the third week of June, I will be within 4 hours of Tucson. Okay.
Wow. So Marilyn will be handling the doodle poll, so thank you for providing that feedback.
I'm in town. I have some other appointments, but I can reschedule them with enough advance notices. Marilyn will know.
We'll have committee member Patton on board shortly and trained.
Great.
For landscape.
For landscape, correct.
If at all possible, when we re-see the Hilton, if we could get at least 5 members with a broader base, I think it would be a better final review.
Okay.
Just
thank
as
you.
An opinion.
Noted.
Any other future agenda items? You mentioned we have something in 5 Points coming up at some point later in the year.
Mm-hmm. The Baffert at 5 Points.
Yes.
And that one looks like a great project.
Okay.
They've been working on it for years. Mr. Kapler has done, I believe, a pretty good job outreach with the neighborhood. He's going to start again.
Okay.
And then there's also a project just west of the 5 Points Diner.
Yep.
There's that historic home that'll be
yes.
saved.
Yes.
That's part of it. And the architect on that is Darcy and...
Oh, and yeah. Hasselbacher and the woodworker.
Reese, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
That's a pretty... fantastic design, and it's very complementary to the historic neighborhood.
Good.
It's 20 or 21 units, as I recall.
Mm-hmm. Low parking, great middle, because we really don't have a lot of middle housing in the Lester Viner's doing a lot of that. But it fills that void that we have.
Yep.
There's also a big one coming at us, and it's the 4th Avenue Partners on 4th PAD.
Right.
Ooh, hallelujah.
And that's a PAD number 33, so it's an interesting hybrid between our IID process, rezoning, and the development package.
Okay.
So we'll be seeing that in July.
So we'll be reviewing that one, even though it's not an IID, because it's a hybrid.
So, yes, it's actually modeled exactly off of the project just north of there, Robin Randy's project. The Trinity site.
Yes.
It's modeled off that. So they did the same thing. They lifted pieces of the IID and placed it in their planned area development. There are some things that are a little different, but the majority of it's there. They have done a lot of public outreach at the front end, and so your purview really will be the design and the final kind of elements of that. Opus is an out-of-town development design company.
Out of Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm. There, I've been really impressed with their submittal packages.
Yeah, I've looked at them online, and their work is above what lot we've seen.
So. Three projects for timeline I'm wondering about. 127 South 5th. Uh, 140 East Broadway. And Flash TV.
Okay, so the Flash TV, Chris from Peach will be the project manager on that, and he wants to submit the updated application on Monday.
Okay. So two, 3 months out for us.
Okay. Yeah, and then the other one is Nick's. He's project managing that one. It's Ross's project, mm-hmm. Ross Riley.
Could that be July?
Which one, the 375 or...
There's two of them.
There's actually four. 375 isn't Ross. That's Deb Dube and Bill Mackey. So they just requested their mailing labels to hold their neighborhood meeting.
Okay.
So they're going to be doing that. Had their pre-submittal. They're still a little ways out for you all.
Mm-hmm. It may have some stuff that has to pay.
There may be.
Okay.
Yeah.
148 Carriage House is the five-story project on Broadway adjacent to the Carriage House, which is having a neighborhood meeting tomorrow at Arizona.
Is that Ross Ridley's project?
That one.
It's a different...
The one that was in the paper? The parking shade?
No, it's a five-story building that's now mixed use, but was going to be exclusively office when it came before the IID, before they're having a neighborhood meeting, but they probably will be doing a new design package.
Is this the old Planned Parenthood?
No, it's the little tiny parking lot. Well, it's not
little
tiny.
It's a little square parking lot next to
the...
Next to that mural with the
just
woman.
Behind yeah. downtown kitchen.
Okay.
That is coming forward. You don't know yet.
That's a cool project.
I thought so. I was just wondering, that seemed like it was further in the pipeline. It's not yet.
Well, that one already has approval from PDSD from a previous MDR done right at the transition point between the old IID and the current one.
Okay.
So it has a standing director's decision letter. And what they're doing now is coming forward with the design of it, and they're also including that Arizona hotel adjacent to it. So it'll have a housing component with mixed use on the first floor.
But it's more than 10% change, so we may or may not see it or not.
You're just going to see it. You're going to see it for the design, for sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Cool. That's some exciting projects to really.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Busy.
Yeah, so between the IID and Main Gate, it's about $2.9 billion worth of reinvestment in the last 5 years.
That doesn't include what I did on the restoration of our house.
No, you probably spent close to that.
Yeah.
That's kind of where my running total is. It's a lot more than actually permanent projects. Yeah, quite a lot.
So okay. Thank you all for being involved.
Thank you.
Adjournment?
Meeting is adjourned.
Yeah.
At
6:10.
6:10.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll see you again, and thanks for responding to
my... Can we get something for the company?
Yeah, she's got it.
Yes, sure can. Now you take that ticket because I'm not sure, and you keep that one.